Oh, please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, some of you are heading up north. Not going to call out any names. Some have already headed up north. But Phil, you're heading up north tomorrow? You are, aren't you? Aren't you just so looking forward to it? Yeah. Do you remember how many of you here are from up north and have experienced winter? Okay, so that's a good majority of everyone who's here. So you know how like November comes, depending on where you live, you might have your first snowfall, right? And you're like, oh, it's so pretty. And you're, you know, especially when you're a kid, right? And so you're like, I can't wait to go out in it. Carl will tell you that I love that first snowfall. It was so beautiful. Everything is so gorgeous. And, you know how that goes. You play in it. It's pretty. We go for a walk in it. You bundle up. It's so snuggly. Isn't that wonderful? And then December comes around. I'm like, all right, this is nice. I do want a white Christmas, right? But now all of a sudden it's getting chillier and colder and snowier and frozenier, if that's such a word, and icier. And it's not fun when you got to go out and get that last gift that you have to get. And the roads are slick and slippery. And then January comes, and then February comes. Now by February, how are you feeling? You're done. Thank you. You are so done. I'm over it. I would say I am sick of it. I've had enough of this nonsense. It's just gloomy out there, right? The sticks. We forget what those branches look like when there's nothing on it. It's dreary. It's like, oh my gosh, those trees look like death. Because they are. There's nothing on there. And we need some hope, don't we? Is this ever going to end for some folks, especially our Minnesotans and those up near the border? You're like, it's May and there's still snow on the ground. I can remember going up to school one May and there's still snow on the ground, which was a little crazy. And then I used to get up at 5:30 in the morning to catch a train to go into New York City where I was working. Well, I was driving at that point from Long Island to New Jersey. And so there would be this commercial that would always show about the Florida Keys. Anybody remember that commercial? And they would show it, you know, early in the morning, and I was like, oh man, if only, you know, that hope that you have. And then I can always remember that day when I'm out there scraping, you bundle up, you're scraping your cars because I didn't have a car starter and any of that stuff, and all of a sudden I go around to the back of the car, and always, I don't know why it is, it's every house I've lived in up north. On the side, I would look down and I would breathe a sigh of relief. Even though there was snow everywhere, there was life pushing up. And do you know what that life was? How many of you remember this sight? Yes. The sight of the crocus. Are they all purple? Are crocuses all purple or are they different? Everywhere I've lived, they were purple and they would always be on the side of my house. And as soon as I would see it, this big smile would come to my face. Because it pushed up through the snow, it pushed up through death, and it appeared. And I knew spring was around the corner, new life was coming. Just hang on. Just hang on. It was absolutely the best feeling ever. I would get giddy because I knew very soon, the bindings, which I like to call my hat, my gloves, my jacket. You ever see a little kid? If you ever see that the Christmas story where the kid's like walking like this, right? That's how we were when we were little. Like you're just all bound up. All of that is going to get to come off. I don't have to scrape anymore. My knuckles won't be white anymore driving on the Cross Bronx Expressway while I'm slipping and sliding and trying not to hit anything. Making sure that the tractor trailer in front of me, that ice block that's on his top, if it doesn't come flying onto my windshield, right? All of that fear, all of that is just absolutely released. All of a sudden, I'm driving on firm ground. You know when you first have to learn how to, like, adjust your car because you're sliding around? And you're like, okay, Yeah, all of that is gone. It's gone. When we see that crocus, we know new life is coming, hope is coming. And did you hear in Isaiah today? It said the crocus will bloom. That will be a sign for you. For those who lived in the desert. Actually, I have a quote I want to read to you. This is from F.C. Jennings. And this is so true. And I want you to think about this on the high level and then a deeper level. We don't know the delights of spring if we never experienced the pinch of winter. If you've lived in Florida your entire life, you don't know what it feels like to see that first crocus pop up. If you've been living in darkness, if you have been living with illness, you don't know what it feels like when there's hope that's given. We don't know the delights of spring if we never experienced the pinch of winter. How many of you here have lived in the desert? It's hard for me to understand the desert. I've flown over it, but I've never been in the desert that I can think of. A couple times we went out west, but I hadn't really ever hiked the desert. How many of you here have experienced the desert, hiked the desert, know the desert? Yeah, a few of you have done that. So this may appeal to you more. Those that live out west, they experience brown. I remember asking somebody, so how is it living in San Diego? Brown. Carl and I were on a cruise. Brown. It's nothing but brown. Everywhere you look, it's brown. And I was like, oh, okay, sorry I asked. You know, there's no water there to sustain life. It's not abundant as it is clearly around here. The sand burns, it stings. I've seen the sandstorms that come. You ever see that right on television when they all take cover? I can't imagine what that feels like. I see what it looks like, but I can't even imagine what that feels like. There's no shade. Your skin is blistering. There's no place to hide. The night can get so cold that you can freeze to death out there. And once in a while, in this desert place, something happens. Something that is so magnificent that you can't even believe that it could happen or it could exist. And it takes place in the desert. Once in a while, there's this overabundance. Well, I guess that's ridiculous. It's abundant. How can over be abundant? Abundant is abundant. There's this abundance of growth. The desert turns into a botanical garden, stretching out from all sides, everywhere you could possibly look. This is the desert in California this last spring. Poppies everywhere. It looks fake, doesn't it? It looks absolutely fake. From the air, this is what it looks like. It's called a super bloom. And it happens as a result of excessive rains coming down, finding its way into the desert, and then the cold trapping it there until the thaw. A super bloom. Here's what it looks like. December of 2016, the desert, and then March of 2017, life, and life abundant. They say the Californians just start heading there in droves. Can't wait to get out there to experience what doesn't seem like it's possible. You know, that's what we are hearing today in Isaiah. It's like a desert, but that desert place is turned into the most magnificent growth and new life that we could ever imagine. I remembered when my father had died, a friend at work had come into my office after I came back from work, and he looked at me and he said, I am so sorry for your loss. And I thanked him, and I said, thank you. And then, you know, we got on with work. About a year later, his father died. And I was going to go into his office when he came back to work, to say, I am so sorry for your pain. But he beat me to it. He got into my office, and the first words out of his mouth before I could even speak to him was, I owe you an apology. I said, for what? And he said, I feel like I was a fraud. I feel like a total fraud when I said to you, I'm so sorry for your loss. He said to me, I didn't understand the depth of your pain. I didn't understand the intensity of your despair. I didn't know what it felt like that there's a hole in your heart. He said, I felt like a complete fraud, and I only understand that now, that I have lost my own father. And my response to him was, Vince, because that was his name, I know that. I know that. And everyone who has experienced a loss and someone who hasn't experienced a loss, when they come to you, you know that their heart is in it, but they haven't experienced what you have experienced. And unfortunately, you know that one day they will. And I looked at Vince and I said to him, Vince, God will carry you through this. We have hope. We have Christ. And that is what we cling to. The author, F.C. Jennings, said, little should we care for the promise, God shall wipe away all tears, had we never wept. You see, had we never wept, we wouldn't understand that. But it is in the weeping and the grief that we understand God will wipe away all tears. And so in this passage from Isaiah, it gave hope to God's people who had been carried away into captivity. It is called the Babylonian exile, the Babylonian captivity. God's people had been conquered, killed. There was a portion of them as they were hauled off out of their country to another country that their captors said to them, why aren't you singing? We want you to sing. You're the people of song. You're God's people. And they're like, we're not feeling like we could sing right now. But they said, no, you need to sing. And so they sang as they were being taken away. You see, in those songs is when they began to have that hope again. This morning, as we hear these words that Isaiah gave to those who were captive, they heard promise, restoration, and hope. And in the midst of their suffering, they had joy. Joy. Gaudete. They were given a glimpse of what will be, what has been promised. We are given a glimpse of what will be, what has been promised. In God, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, life fully restored. All of creation. Notice that what was first talked about was creation itself being restored, right? The crocus, the animals. And then we hear, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. You see, we are awaiting the already. We are preparing to celebrate the birth of the Messiah, which has already taken place. And at the same time, we're awaiting the return of Christ, who brings in the full kingdom of God. We hear in the words today, the eyes of the blind will be open when Christ walked the face of the earth. Christ performed miracles and opened the eyes of the blind. We get glimpses of miracles today, where all of a sudden, the one who could not see can now see. The lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue will shout for joy. The ears of the deaf unstopped.
Grayson Clamp, 3 years old, never heard his father before.
Talk to him, Daddy.
Daddy loves you. Daddy loves you.
Grayson points his finger there, hearing sound for the first time ever.
Can you hear Daddy?
Yeah.
The ears of the deaf unstopped. Every ear of the deaf unstopped. Every eye of the blind open. All the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue will shout for joy. We receive glimpses of what full restoration will look like in the miracles that take place today. And many of those miracles are through the breakthrough of science. For us today on this third Sunday in Advent, we await the already. We cling to the promise that we will be set free from our desert places, from that which binds us today, whether that binding comes in physical form, comes in emotional distress and illness, or that binding comes in a spiritual hole that we may be feeling. It may be our bindings in any part of these or all three of them together. This magnificent poem from Isaiah is for all of us today. Cling to the promise, dear children of the Most High and Merciful God, that on this Gaudete Sunday, on this Sunday of joy, that you hear these words are for you. Gaudete in Domino Semper. Rejoice in the Lord always. Amen.